Hi there, I'm Sue Elvis from the blog Stories of an Unschooling Family. Welcome to my podcast. This is episode 145. And today, I've got my daughter Sophie with me. Hello, Sophie.
Hello.
Perhaps if you would introduce yourself, just in case we've got some new listeners and they don't know who you are.
Despite the fact I'm your most frequent guest.
That's true. But you never know. We might have some new listeners because it's the start of a brand new year. You never know that people might go looking for new things to do at the beginning of a year.
Oh, yes.
New books to read, new podcasts to listen to. So maybe we have some new listeners. Wouldn't that be good?
That would be lovely.
So go ahead, introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Sophie, and I'm the second youngest child in the family.
How old are you, Sophie?
17.
Second youngest in the family. Yep, so how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have 3 brothers and 4 sisters.
And so you've only got one below you, and that's Gemma Rose.
Yes.
You're 17, and she's almost 15. Wow, that's scary, isn't it?
I know.
Having our youngest child, 15.
We're almost grown up.
Yes, it's quite remarkable, isn't it? Anyway, you've joined me today to make a podcast, and I always enjoy talking to you, but we've got a special reason for talking together today, haven't we?
Yes.
And that reason is my Christmas present. What have I got?
A Blue Yeti mic.
Yes, I've got a new mic for podcasting. If you listened to my last couple of episodes before Christmas, you might remember that I was wondering if I would get a new mic for Christmas because one day my husband Andy said to me, "Do you need a new mic? How would you feel about getting a new mic?" Something along those lines.
He's very subtle.
So I had an idea that he was thinking about getting me a new mic. And I also had an idea about the type of mic he was looking at, because I think you mentioned it, the Yeti mic, to him, didn't you,
yes,
Sophie?
Yes, it's a mic I've had my eye on for a while.
And he remembered that when he was thinking about what he was going to buy me for Christmas. And I guess he was just checking up to see whether I would use a new mic or not. And what do you think, Sophie? Do you think I needed a Yeti mic?
Oh, definitely.
Well, I had a good mic.
It was a good mic, but you do podcasting. It's one of your biggest things you do, and you need the equipment for it.
So you think that this mic is going to improve the quality of my recordings?
Oh, definitely. It's a much higher quality mic.
That sounds really good, doesn't it? I can't wait to finish recording this and to listen back to see the sound quality that this mic has produced. I was listening to someone else's podcast the other day, somebody else who uses a Yeti mic, and that is Philip Mott from their podcast Schools Out. Oh, wow. The sound was so clear.
It's a beautiful sound this mic produces.
Yes, I was talking to Philip about the Yeti mic, and since our conversation, yes, I haven't been able to wait to try it out. But yes, here it is, first week of January.
In all its shininess, it's so shiny.
And I've only just got this mic out of its box. And I guess that's because we've been busy with Christmas, haven't we?
Oh, yes.
I haven't really wanted to think about getting back to podcasting or blogging or anything else. I've wanted to have a few days off. Also, I've been working on something else, and I'm going to give you an update about that later on. But here we are. We're sitting in my recording studio.
AKA your bedroom.
Yes. Well, my bedroom, that's true. And it's rather hot in here, isn't it, Sophie?
Oh, it's so hot and sticky.
I think we've got sweat dripping off us because it's a very warm day. We've had a lot of hot weather recently, haven't we?
Oh, yes. It's all been mid-30 degree weather.
Right up to nearly 40 degrees. Yeah. And I know that's not a lot compared to some places in Australia at the moment.
But we feel more comfortable with, like, high 20s.
Yes, we don't really do well with the hot weather.
And we don't have much cooling. Like, in the room at the moment, we've got all the windows shut for audio quality, and the fan can't run. It's So it's quite sticky.
It is very sticky. But we are expecting a cool change any minute, aren't we?
It would be nice.
Yes, the weather forecast says that the temperature is going to go down 10 degrees within the hour.
That would be lovely.
And then tomorrow, I just had a look, and the top forecast temperature for tomorrow is a whole 17 degrees Celsius. Can you believe that?
I don't believe it.
That's 20 degrees lower than our average temperature recently.
I don't actually think I believe that. I think they're lying.
I think so as well. It doesn't seem possible. But saying that, there have been places in Australia the last week or so that have been experiencing temperatures nearer 50 degrees Celsius.
We've got it easy compared to them.
We have. I don't know how they're bearing with those high temperatures. So we're sitting here in my studio with my new Yeti mic and we're trying it out. So we thought we would just chat together, tell you a little bit about our Christmas and what we've been doing, and then you can assess the quality of my podcast, because I'm going to be podcasting for 2019. I've got some ideas. I hope I don't lose motivation. I plan on another year of podcasting. What about you, Sophie? Would you like to do podcasting?
I might like to. It's something I've considered dabbling in.
Well, you have recorded one podcast, do you remember?
I had a total of one back in 2015.
I think it was, about four years ago.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning when I recorded my first podcast, you said, oh, I could do that.
And I recorded one podcast and then I got busy and I got distracted and I never went back to it.
But you tried it.
I tried it.
You saw what I was doing and for a little while you got excited about it and decided that you would try it as well. But you'd like to go back to vlogging, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes.
And can you use the Yeti mic for vlogging?
Yeah, you can connect it up and use it for vlogging as well. It's not exactly the same as an on-camera mic, but if you have like a setup, like a lot of gaming YouTube channels, they use the Yeti. I believe several musicians also use the Yeti mic.
So tell me, what do you want to vlog about?
Well, I'm not a gamer and I'm not a musician, but I like fitness. So I talk a lot about fitness before on my channel, before I sort of let it fizzle out. So I want to get back into that kind of scene.
And I was thinking, this was only my suggestion, but I don't know what you think of it, Sophie. But as you're talking about fitness, it would be nice to sprinkle in some of your personal life, some of the places that we go and visit, where show people where you are actually working out.
Yeah, and make it more personal and, show you a bit of what my life's like. I'd like to say I don't have the most normal life.
Yeah, just sort of, instead of just doing your workouts in your bedroom and just showing us a little bit of space around you, show people places like the park where you've been exercising, but sort of zoom around and show people your environment. Talk a little bit about other things that are going on in your life at the same time that you're talking about fitness.
Oh, definitely. The style of video I like is a lot of is more of a vlogging style, so it's more of life with a focus around fitness.
Right. Because, I think that would be very interesting. And then you could also experiment a bit with some editing techniques, don't you think?
Oh, I love editing. Old listeners might remember I used to film music videos for my sister. And I kind of miss doing all the special edits and filming that I used to do.
Well, I think we ought to give Imogen a prod. Get her to record another song and then go out there and record a new music video. What do you think?
It's been a while.
Has been a while. But
I think one of our best ones was the last one we did as well.
Perhaps we didn't actually promote it enough, do you think? We sort of fizzled out, didn't we?
There were things we could have done better, and I think we've learnt a lot since we did those videos.
And, it's good, I suppose, to keep on practicing, keep on learning.
Oh, definitely.
And we haven't done any of that recently.
No, we've all sort of been busy in our own things and haven't really been pushing ourselves out of our comfort recently. It's just been busy.
Well, I think we've been doing other things. That's the point, isn't it?
It's just we're not working on the same projects we used to be. we're all doing our own sort of solo things at the moment.
Yes, but I did give you an idea the other day for some videos, didn't I?
Oh, yeah.
What did I say?
You're suggesting maybe I could start an unschooling documentary.
Yeah.
Instead of a bit of a project.
We could do it in episodes if you didn't want to do it as one big documentary. You could do it in just short bursts. But I think that would be really interesting.
Yeah, it's something I'm considering and working out whether logistically I have the time to do it and whether I have enough ideas for.
Yes, well,
it's still a very early idea.
Well, it's good to have ideas, isn't it?
Oh, definitely.
So I miss those days when you and I used to go down the bush tracks together, walking the dogs and talking about our ideas. Do you remember?
Yeah, it was like the most common phrase you ever heard from me was, I have an idea.
But then I say that a lot to you. It's good to share ideas and to chat about them. Are they feasible? Can we put them into action?
I generally end up, because I work so much, I end up whenever I'm home going on as many shopping trips as possible just so I have time to tell people about my ideas.
Oh, you want to come along so you can chat in the car and
then... Exactly. It's not that I want to go shopping. It's the fact I want to talk.
Run your latest idea past someone, see what they think?
Yes. It's a substitute to the days when I used to have time to go on long walks.
Yes, well, I think that's good that we have other people to talk to who are interested in our ideas and who can actually put some input into them as well.
Yeah.
And then help us carry them out.
Oh, definitely. It helps a lot to even form ideas and properly work them out if you have someone to talk it through. It makes a lot more sense when you're able to talk to someone and they can put up, you know, the pros and cons and help you think out issues and things.
What I usually do, I don't know if you realize, is I ask you questions. Instead of saying to you, oh, you can't do that, or that's going to be too difficult.
You ask questions and it gets you thinking and you think through the problem.
Yeah. How are you going to tackle this? What will you need? What skills or equipment will you need to carry it out? Have you got the time? All those sort of things. And you can work it out for yourself if the idea is feasible.
Yes.
But also we can expand ideas, can't we?
Oh, definitely.
I think that too many times parents squash kids' ideas. Do you feel that?
Oh, definitely.
People say, oh, that's a silly idea.
It only takes one question of, or one statement of, I don't think that's possible, and the child will just deflate and give up at times because their mum says it's not possible. It's not possible. The parent knows best is the view that a lot of children get pushed upon themselves.
Do you think kids should be allowed to try their ideas out?
Oh, definitely. Whether it works or not and the parent is correct is beside the point. The child will learn something either way. If the idea succeeds, they'll learn about whatever it was that they were interested in. If it fails, they'll learn why it failed and they'll see why it doesn't work, rather than their parents just giving them the blank, it's not going to work.
But you learn something regardless.
Exactly. No matter what happens, you learn from it.
And one idea might not work, but you might modify it.
Exactly.
I think there's nothing worse than being told that your ideas are silly.
Oh, definitely.
Or even being given that impression. You might not say that's a silly idea, but people can affect the way you feel about it.
There are a lot of people who, if it's not with something that they themselves would do, they push down on your idea and they criticize it slightly, you know. They've got a sort of snobbish attitude. If I don't like that kind of thing, why should you like that kind of thing? It's stupid.
Do you think also parents might be a little bit embarrassed by some of the things their kids want to do, especially things they want to do in public, you know, go on YouTube, do this, do that?
Oh, definitely. They don't want to have that embarrassing child.
Perhaps it won't actually be any good. It might fail.
And especially with something like YouTube, it has such a risk of, you know, looking back and it being slightly stupid. Like looking back on my first videos, they were terrible. And I suppose that if you'd been like other parents, you could have been afraid of the shame of those videos.
But I think parents do it to themselves too. Adults do it to themselves. They're too afraid to do anything.
So they don't do anything at all.
What will other people think? I'm not very good. But you don't get good until you try, do you?
Exactly.
I'm really embarrassed by my early podcasts. And the silly thing is, well, the unfortunate thing is that the most popular podcast of mine is number one. I don't know why people seem to go to the first one and listen to that. I wish they would all just go to the latest one and listen to that. And I wonder, well, they go to the very first podcast and they listen. Do they think, oh, that doesn't sound very
terrible, mic. No idea what you're doing. No editing skills.
Exactly. It doesn't exactly sound professional. And I wonder how many people then go on and listen to any more. But I don't want to take it down either because it's part of the story, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. You can't take away a piece of the story. It doesn't make sense otherwise, and you lose part of your history.
Exactly. I think it's good to see where you've come from and where you're going. And, of course, we're going to keep on improving. Now we've got a Yeti mic. I mean,
there's nowhere but up to go.
We're going up another step, aren't we? But, yes, I was reading something online the other day, a blog post someone had written, about how we sometimes want to edit our past, get rid of all the mistakes.
Everyone's too embarrassed to admit what happened in the past. It's very rare you admit someone who's telling you stories about where they went wrong and what they did that they regret doing. Most people like to erase over that, and you sort of brush out the places where they made a little bit of a mess and did something a little bit embarrassing.
Well, I think just from my unschooling blog, we have grown so much over the last, I think it's 8 years that I've been blogging.
8 or 10 years.
8, 9, I'm not sure now, but it's a long time. Jimmy Rose was only little when I started out blogging. I mean, we've been unschooling longer than that, but actually recording it and sharing it all with other people, we've been doing that, oh, quite some years now.
Blogging was actually quite a new thing when we started.
Well, looking back and reading other people's blogs and finding out about other bloggers, I think that blogging has been around longer than quite a bit longer, but not in the same sort of form, not as accessible, and
there weren't so many of people weren't doing the same things that we were doing. Unschooling blogging wasn't really a thing when we started.
Yeah, so we didn't meet up with a lot of unschooling bloggers. Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
But there was certainly a lot of homeschooling bloggers around, but I didn't connect up with many unschooling bloggers. But the point I was trying to make was that over those years, I've changed my ideas a bit about how unschooling works. Doing things like unschooling maths, for example. I don't know if you remember, Sophie, those horrible days when you were little and you had to do formal maths.
We went through quite a few different ways of doing maths. It's the one thing which I think took a while to sort of go over to the unschooling way of doing it. Took us a bit to sort of work it all out and let go.
Yeah, that's right. And I can remember you saying, oh, I hate maths. I'm not very good at it. And I thought, I'm not going to battle another child with maths, you know, not going through another so many years of having to force you to do it. And you just say, I'm no good at it. I hate it. And just waiting for the day.
I think I was the one which converted you to the unschooling way.
You did. And I'm really glad we did it that way because you ended up enjoying maths, didn't you?
Yeah, I went probably in the course of 2 years where we adjusted from formal to unschooling maths. I went from I hate maths to I absolutely love maths, and I was doing maths equations in my free time.
Yes.
I was a weird child.
But it wasn't just maths equations, though. It was all sorts of interesting associated things. Like, we don't see where we're using maths until we start looking.
Oh, yeah. So it wasn't a way that we stuck to, like, formal maths equations. When I say I liked doing maths equations, it was generally, I had a love of, like, weird maths tricks, like mental maths tricks, and I would practice those in my free time, and I forced Mum to start doing weird maths tricks with me, and we'd have mental math competitions.
I still sit there sometimes, like if I'm waiting in a doctor's surgery or wherever, and I see some numbers, I go looking for patterns, and then I try and work out how many different ways I can add the numbers up, that type of thing. And it reminds me of the time we used to spend together doing maths puzzles and maths competitions, seeing how fast we could do
things. It was a friendly kind of competition.
It was. But anyway, where were we?
I think we keep getting distracted.
Yeah. The thing is that all those early posts about maths are on my blog, and sometimes I think, oh, look, I should go and delete all those or rewrite them, get rid of them, because I want to look like we've been unschooling perfectly forever, you know? There's no mistakes there. And then one day I thought about it and thought, no, there's more encouragement, I think, in seeing where we've come from and where we are now and possibly where we're going to go, that people can follow the journey.
It shows people that it's a continuous process, and it kind of, to people who are at the start, it's sort of encouraging to know that we went through the same sort of process and that we didn't just start out in this place.
We weren't just born perfect.
I wouldn't say we're perfect now.
No, I'm sure that's absolutely true. But we could look a little bit more perfect if I deleted a lot of my blog, couldn't I?
Oh, yes.
I could retell the story. I think that's what we'd like to do sometimes, is to rewrite our stories.
It's like you tell it a lot when people are telling stories from, you know, a few years ago, and you notice that over time, the little things that went wrong and the mistakes people made, they slowly get phased out of the story, as I think people might have forgotten and might not notice. And eventually you get the story of this perfect person living this perfect life.
Well, I have had to be very careful, because as I've been writing my unschooling books, I have had to be careful not to change the story, because
it's so many years ago, and you just get used to, you know, subtly adjusting it all the time.
That's right, and I've told this story so many times, and sometimes I sit down and think, is that what really happened? Because as I was saying to you the other day, I don't know if, was I saying it to you or maybe to Imogen, that we have been unschooling a lot longer than I've been blogging, but I never knew that I was going to write an unschooling book. So all those years ago, I didn't sit down every night and make some notes thinking, one day I'm going to write an unschooling book. I better record it properly so I get all my facts right.
So the book is kind of relying on your memory, and your memory is a little bit dodgy.
And my interpretation of what happened. And yeah. Everybody has a different view of it, don't they?
Exactly.
We all remember different things, but I want to be honest.
It's like I read your stories and I might remember it slightly different because my view is slightly different.
Yeah.
It's not that your story was wrong. It's the fact that I saw it in a different way as it happened.
So this experience makes me think that we should sit down and record everything that goes on in our lives all the time, because we never know what might happen in the future. We might sit down and think, I want to write another book. Oh, good, I've got all the notes. It's going to be so easy.
It makes it a lot more stressful living your life, though.
Well,
you just get to the point where you're like, every single thing you do, you'd have to stop. Wait, I have to document this just in case.
But you remember, I think it was last time we were talking, I was talking about how I am writing daily emails to a friend.
Yes.
And capturing all the interesting and important things in my day, and I'm sharing those with a friend. And I've got quite a good picture of my life at the moment contained within those emails. Do you remember
that?
Yeah. And I was saying that that's one way of doing a journal. Instead of just writing down, we did this, we did that, we did this, we did that, and we get bored of doing that every day, that I have a focus, I have a purpose why I'm writing, and that is to share with a friend.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm keeping all those emails, and they are my life story.
Everything adds up into your story. And I think your diary and your journal is so much bigger than what you actually end up putting in it.
Going to pick and choose what you're going to record?
What I'm saying is, you get a diary, but your life was so much bigger than what you put into that diary. Your life is all the emails and letters and text messages and random things that you wrote.
So you think if we saved everything like that, we'd have a good picture anyway, wouldn't we?
Yeah. A lot of the time you don't even need a diary anymore if you just saved everything you wrote.
Perhaps what would be more useful, we got all the facts because we've told everyone, but interpreting what has happened would be interesting, if you see what I mean. Our thoughts about what has happened in our days, not just this happened and that happened, but how it affects us and our thoughts about it.
A lot of diaries end up being a list of facts. Yeah, I went to the supermarket, I bought milk, I came home and ate lunch. And it's just a list of, like a grocery list of events.
I suppose that might be interesting from a historical point of view, because one day people will read it and think, oh, look, they went to the the supermarket to get their milk, or drove so far to get it, that type of thing.
But you don't know who the person is from most typical diaries.
No, but it's the person's thoughts and the way they look at life that's really interesting.
Exactly. I think so few people actually record that.
You think that's, if you did take the time to do all that, that you actually... you've got a treasure there for future generations?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's something special about sharing your thoughts. Even if in, 10 years' time you look back and groan at what a stupid person you were.
Embarrassing, you think?
Yeah. It's still something special to see how much you've grown as a person. And it tells you a lot about who you were at a time if you see your thoughts rather than your actions.
Well, I suppose your actions might be affected by your thoughts.
Yeah.
Yes. I suppose that comes into blogging, doesn't it? You can just tell people facts about your lives, but...
Or you can choose to share part of yourself.
Exactly, which makes it more valuable because you're letting people into the important side of your life. You're being really honest and open, not just keeping them away from you and just saying, well, I did this and I did that, but you're telling people how you felt about this or the mistakes you made, the things that you wouldn't necessarily tell everybody. But I suppose to a certain extent you have to do that when you're blogging if you want to actually connect with people.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Otherwise your blog is pretty... Well, it's not very helpful, is it?
No, and it's a bit of a boring read.
You got to actually make a connection with other people.
That's what social media and blogging is all about, really, is being able to make a personal connection with somebody.
And that personal connection, what does it do? It makes people feel, hey, that person knows what I'm going through.
Yeah, it's like, hey, that person's relatable. This is something, I can connect with. And people engage better with something where they feel like they either relate to it or that person is someone they'd like to know, rather than that person, I know nothing about them. But hey, they have some nice pictures on their blog.
I suppose nice pictures help.
It helps, but people don't grow a better connection to you if they know who you are.
And I suppose from my point of view, if I am sharing all my mistakes, people can at least say, well...
They're like me, and it gives hope to a person, if they make mistakes, maybe I'm not so bad.
And we're all going to make a lot more mistakes, there's no doubt about that.
Exactly.
But we're still here.
But it just shows you're human, and so many people fail to share, the bad side of their life online. And, they've got the perfect picture, they all have the perfect life, the perfect photos, and sometimes... It's very easy to forget that that's just an image people put up. So it's nice and refreshing when you see someone posting about, the mistakes and the messier side of life. And you go, hang on a second, everyone's normal and goes through this and it's not just me.
But I think also in doing that, you have to also be hopeful. Because if you just tell people the bad side of your life all the time, it sounds like a lot of complaining, and you get people depressed because it's mistake after mistake after mistake.
I think it's sort of, share the journey. So, what you
have learned from it?
Yeah, what you've learned. You have to be positive online. There's no point to being miserable online, otherwise you're a little bit depressing.
You sort of very much sunk into it, and it's like...
Yeah. Social media isn't about generally... speaking, it's not about, sharing your woes and having a bit of a pity party. It's about sharing something which you help somebody. You're supposed to be making an impact in someone's life in a positive manner.
And you can't do that just by being positive and telling good stories all the time.
No, you have to also share, the lessons you've learned and sort of, show the real part of the life and show that it's okay not to be perfect and have that picture-perfect life.
Well, that's a good job. We don't have to be perfect, isn't it?
It's a very good job.
It's also very stressful having to keep that image up. And in some ways, even though being honest and open is difficult, in some ways, it's also a relief that we can be who we are and we don't have to pretend and don't have to keep up a perfect image.
You don't have to have the constant stress of, should I post this? Does this fit in with my online persona?
Online persona. Do I have one of those? That sounds rather grand, doesn't it? Online persona. Oh, wow. I have to think about that one. How am I projecting myself? Hey, Sophie, am I doing okay?
I think you're doing fine.
Yeah, I'll tell you a funny story. Yesterday, I posted a phone photo. Right? I took a quick photo and it was backlit and it wasn't a very good photo. And I gave it to you on my phone and I said, I'll do something with it. Make it look like it's reasonable.
You know, one of those spur of the moment photos, which you're out and about and you want to record a memory and you don't think about it. You just snap a photo.
And I didn't even bother taking it to Lightroom or anything. I just gave it to you to do a really quick edit in 30 seconds, didn't I?
Yeah.
And I posted it up on my Instagram and it got more likes than all the photos that I've been laboring long and hard over. All the photos that I've been thinking, you know, put a lot of work into. And it got more likes than all of my good photos. And I think, oh, wow. You know,
why do we stress so much?
Why do I stress so much about making my photos look so beautiful?
A lot of the time, though, it's we see all the mistakes and the things we dislike about things like our photos, and no one else sees it. No one else even considers to look.
And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, look, the skin tone's not right.
Oh, no, they're going to notice I didn't add any extra vibrance into this photo. Everyone's going to notice what they think of me.
That's what I always think. They think she thinks she knows what she's doing now. She's editing on Lightroom. And look at that photo. How could she post that up? Oh, it's all a bit of fun, isn't it? I rather enjoy posting photos on Instagram. Not to get the likes, but because...
It's like a creative outlet.
It is. It makes me work hard at my photography. It gives me a sense of satisfaction that I've got something that I'm almost happy with. You know, you put it up there and then 5 minutes later I think, oh.
And, you know, a week later you edit it slightly differently. You're like, oh, this is so much better.
If only they could see this version. Why did I post the other version? Aren't we stupid?
We stress too much.
We certainly do. But... looking at my list of things that we were going to talk about, Sophie, we were going to talk about none of what we've just talked about.
We've ended up talking about social media.
We weren't going to talk about any of that. What we were going to talk about was our successful Christmas presents, because Dad's presents was very successful to me, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, it was a really good present. And I gave him a present that he really liked. Do you want to describe it? You don't know what it is, do you?
I had a sudden mind blank.
The lamp. How could you forget
I went shopping for it and everything with Mum.
So how could you forget about it when you helped me choose it?
It was just on the spot. You asked me to describe it and I just had this mind blank.
And you're thinking, what is it? What is it?
What I'm like, what did she give? A t-shirt?
No, that was you. All right, describe my mic. It was not a mic, a lamp.
We're a lovely pair today.
It's the heat. It's getting to our heads. I think our brains are boiling.
So much for the temperature going down 10 degrees.
No, it should have gone down 20 minutes ago. I doubt it has. Never mind. Keep talking.
So, the lamp. It's like a really modern, cool lamp. So, it's got this really sleek, black, modern design, but it has four different colour lights. So, from a cool blue to a warm orange kind of tone and everything in between. And you can change the light level, so it's a dimmable lamp. So depending on what you're working on and where you're working, you can change your light conditions to be perfect.
You sort of have to have a license to drive it, don't you?
It was so confusing to work out.
I think
Too many options.
I think Dad was really pleased with it, don't you?
Oh, yeah, he loves having little electronic things to fiddle with.
Yeah, so that was a success. Now, the other success, well, all my presents were successful, but the other one I want to talk about is Gemma Rose's present.
At least I know what this one is, because I also helped shop for it.
You actually gave me your recommendation for it, didn't you?
I did, and then I argued the man in the shop who wanted to dissuade us from buying it.
He wanted us to buy something else, but we stuck to our guns, and what did we buy?
We bought a Garmin GPS watch.
For Gemma Rose's running?
Yes.
And it was a total surprise, wasn't it?
Yeah, she wasn't expecting anything like that. She's been wanting a watch for ages, but she keeps saying, I'll buy one when I have a job. You know, I've got to save for one when I have a job. But she keeps staring at, like, mine and your watches with envy as she goes out. And she had a really old, cheap watch from probably around 5 years ago.
An old Audi one.
Yeah, so it was really cheap. And it didn't work very well, and she couldn't save her runs. It deleted her data after every run, and she started lending that to Charlotte, who started running, because Charlotte had less of an idea of how to gauge distances. So she started giving it to Charlotte, and she had nothing to run with. So she was so happy when she got a new one, which was actually better than any of ours watch.
I think that that watch is going to really make a difference for her training, for her races.
Oh, yes. She's really gotten into the race thing. And she was so excited when she heard all the features. Like, she could see her pace as she was running and stick to a pace. She could program in specific interval runs into her watch so that alerts would come telling her whether to run or jog. And she was really excited by all the options and things that it would allow her to do.
At the end of last year, Sophie, I was talking about Christmas presents. A lot of people say that they don't buy Christmas presents anymore. It's a commercial thing, and we got to get back to basics, what Christmas is all about. But I was talking about how I do think that there is a place for presents at Christmas, and they are a sign of our love for people. And if we choose them very carefully, those presents not only can bring a lot of joy and happiness to people, but they can actually make a difference in people's lives.
Oh yeah, they can definitely enhance your life.
Things that people haven't got the money for, or, you know, they wouldn't buy for themselves, but they will use. And when you find one of those presents and give it to someone, you've really hit the jackpot, haven't you?
Oh, definitely.
So Gemma Rose is really enjoying her running. I'm sitting here enjoying my Yeti mic. Hopefully everybody out there who's listening to us is going to be enjoying the clear professional sound. So the money that was spent on those gifts was well worth spending, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
So tell me about your most successful, no, all your presents were successful as well, but tell me about one of them.
Well, the one I was most excited to give and most excited that it went down well was the one I bought for Imogen. So she released her very first young adult novel in August, I believe, last year.
Called
The Crystal Tree. And she had a proof copy of the book, which she'd ordered when she was formatting and getting ready to publish. But after she published it, the prices to order a paperback copy of a book from Amazon to Australia.
Amazon America.
Yeah, Amazon America to Australia. And that's what she'd have had to done as the author. Was far too expensive for her to afford to buy herself a copy of her own book. So she got through the whole year with just this proof copy. And it was a little bit battered and worn. It had pencil notes in it from when she was reading through for adjustments. And every time she wanted to, take photos of her book and share her book around with her friends, all she had was a proof copy with this massive sticker on it saying, "Do not resell," or something like that on the front. And so for Christmas, I had this sneaky idea. I would buy her her own book.
Which made us laugh because
she made her own present.
Yes, because we were talking about how special presents are if someone makes you something, isn't it? Yes. They're the best presents of all, but you gave her a present she'd made herself.
Exactly.
It gave us a big laugh, that one, didn't it?
It did.
And she was so thrilled with it.
She couldn't believe it. You should have seen her face when she unwrapped it.
She could have afforded to have bought herself a copy by the end of the year, except that she was spending her money on Christmas presents, wasn't
she? Yes. She was unemployed earlier in the year, and she didn't have a lot of work before that. So she's only just gotten to the point where she could possibly afford to buy herself a shiny copy of her own book.
But so now she has one.
Exactly.
So that was really good, wasn't it? And it arrived a few days before Christmas.
I was so scared it wasn't going to come.
So, yes. So our presents were successful, weren't they? We had a lot of smiles on Christmas Day, and now we're all using our presents, and they're going to affect what we do in 2019, aren't they?
That's the wish.
Okay. So, a new year, Sophie. My next subject on my list, because I'm sitting here.
We're back to the list.
Yes. Got to keep on track here, is New Year's resolutions. Did you make any?
No.
I didn't either.
Everywhere I look, anywhere at the moment, you know, YouTube, Instagram, everyone is talking about New Year's resolutions, and I can't get away from the New Year's talk. And it's making me kind of feel slightly guilty, because I have zero idea what I want to work on this year and what I want to improve.
Well, no, that's not quite true.
I know what I want to work on, but I don't have any set, like, resolutions, things I want to change.
Like, you're not going to say, I want to exercise so many times a week, because you're already doing that.
Yeah, I'm already going to the gym regularly and exercising regularly, and I'm already eating fairly healthy, and, you know, the typical resolutions, I feel I don't, want to make them. They don't
apply to you.
Yeah, they don't really apply to me at the moment.
But also I think that sometimes resolutions aren't what we need. It's like going on a diet. You don't need diets. You need to overhaul your whole eating habits, don't you?
Yeah.
So you can't just say, so it's a bit deeper than just making a quick resolution and trying to stick to it and counting off the days you can.
And then, you know, you get a month in and you forget about it. Who can keep up going to the gym 5 times a week and eating veggies 10 times a day?
I think you've got to decide why you really want to.
And you need something a little more flexible than someone's typical resolution. You need something which is more of a lifestyle change rather than a set rule they have to follow, like going to the gym 5 times a day, you know, eating veggies 10 times a day, anything like that.
It's got to be something that's going to make a change to your life.
Exactly.
Something that's important to you, something you thought about a lot, and it's not as easy as, well, resolutions aren't that easy, but it's not so, you've got to think about it a little bit more and plan it out a bit more than just get up on New Year's Day.
I think a resolution is more of a goal with set steps. And that's a better way of thinking about it, is what's my goal for the year? What do I want to achieve this year? And then you work out, okay, what steps do I need to take to make this goal a reality this year? So you have something you're working on throughout the whole year, but it's something bigger than a resolution.
You just said that was a resolution. Did you? Got a bit confused?
Sort of. My phrasing didn't come out so well. So instead of just, a resolution being a standard resolution,
yes,
better to have it as a big goal where you have something you're working towards, say, publishing a book.
All right.
And then you break up that goal into tiny little steps and you set out your year in steps. Instead of having a resolution, I'm going to write so many words every day, you have a resolution, okay, I'm going to get up, I'm going to have my first draft finished by February. I'm going to have my second draft finished by May, whatever. And you have a set list of steps to achieve a goal, and you get something achieved in a year like you hope you would with a New Year's resolution. But it's more of a realistic outlook.
So instead of saying, I want to be more productive this year, what I should say is, I want to publish my two books.
And then you set steps to hit that goal.
And
you
in doing that, I will be productive.
Exactly.
Right, so it's not sort of airy-fairy and you get up in the morning
and think, something set which you have to follow. It's a plan. You need a plan for your year rather than a weird list of random resolutions which don't really make much sense.
Okay, so you've got to do something which is important to you. Well, let's go on to what we were going to talk about next, because I've been thinking about this. I don't want to waste 2019, right?
It's so easy for the months to float by. I don't know where everywhere from February to December went last year.
No. And so that is one thing I want to do, is to be more productive. Yeah, but in saying that, I have set down a few things I want to achieve. Now, everybody might know that I finished my first unschooling book. I wrote a blog post about it the other day, and I've been posting a little bit about it. I also wrote something about it in my unschooling newsletter last week. So yes, unschooling book number 1 is finished. We just have to format it and get it published. But I have a second unschooling book that I want to publish as well. And that's all the leftover things that didn't fit into book one. Well, leftover things doesn't sound too good, does it?
It's more of the second half of what didn't. She was planning on writing one book, but she wrote so much that she had enough possibly for three books.
So I had to divide it, and I've made the first one about educational unschooling and the second one more about parenting unschooling, radical unschooling.
Yeah, so it's the second half of the book rather than the leftovers.
That sounds better, doesn't it? Look, I think our dog's out there. That's got a bit of thunder and is coming.
One of our dogs hates any sort of weird weather, and you can tell several hours before a storm comes because she gets all kinds of antsy and she can't sit still.
And she starts barking terribly, which is probably going to affect our recording. But yes, I think the temperature is about to drop, Sophie. I think the storm is coming, and we ought to round up in a minute. But yes, so we're at the stage where I've got one book finished and one book almost finished, and I want to get those done this year, Sophie. I'd also like to write a book with you, do an unschooling book from a teenager's point of view. What would you think about that one?
We could work on something.
So that's on my list as well. I've also got another children's fiction novel, which I think it's in draft one or two stage. I'd like to finish that. I want to continue podcasting, and I want to get back to blogging. And in particular, I have an empty blog that I started off blogging on it twice, never got further than about six posts, and now it's empty again, waiting for a new idea. And I want to explore some just writing. Can I just write?
Yeah.
Explore different topics, not necessarily unschooling. So I'm thinking about that as well. So that's what I want to do as far as writing and podcasting goes. All right, tell me about your goals for this year.
Well, I don't have a lot of set ones, but I have a few ones which they're ones which are quite important to me at the moment. Number one, I'm hoping to knock off the list within the month, is get a new job because I've been unemployed for 3 weeks.
People might be surprised about that because your job was going so well last year. So we'll just say briefly that the owner of the cafe, the business isn't doing too well, is it?
No, and they needed staff. They needed to cut some money somewhere. And I was a little bit expensive to hire. I was there every single day of the week. So they were cutting hours and I needed the work. So I had to leave in the end.
So you're looking for a new job, but that's not a problem, is it?
No, I'm having a couple of weeks off and enjoying a bit of a holiday, getting ahead on some of my studying, and I'm hoping to have a job soon when businesses start hiring after Christmas.
Yeah, sometimes we think that we have got everything worked out perfectly. Life is going along and can't imagine it being any other way, can't we? It's all perfect. And then all of a sudden we come across an obstacle. We find out that things aren't quite as good as we thought, but that's not a problem.
Oh, no.
You just go with the flow. Something else will turn up.
Life always changes.
And you learn something from a lot from that job, and you're going to move on and learn something new from another one. And I have no doubt whatsoever that you'll get a job very soon. That's not a problem.
Exactly. I knew I wasn't going to be there forever. And I'm not upset about it at the moment. I'm just enjoying having a bit of a break.
So you actually resigned, didn't
you? Yeah, I resigned. They weren't going to fire me. They were cutting a few of my hours and hiring cheaper people in my place. And so I needed work. I needed more work than they would be able to give me, so I resigned.
And you've been using your time as a holiday at the moment. You wanted to have a bit of a break anyway.
Yeah, I haven't had time off in a very long time. So I'm taking a bit of a holiday, but I'm also focusing on my study, which is my second goal of the year, is I want to complete my certificate for in fitness.
And how's it going?
It's going well. I've got the results back for my first two units.
And you passed?
And I passed. And I'm almost ready to submit my third unit, which is exciting.
Oh, that's good. So you're feeling confident now you've had some results back?
Yeah.
So unschoolers can study and they can do assignments and they can be a success, even though you have never done any of that sort of structured work before.
Exactly.
That's really good. Now tell me about something that's related to that you've been doing. Oh, wow. Did you hear that?
I wonder if the mic picked up that massive thunder.
Well, aren't we better hurry up here? So tell me about your workouts that you've been doing for family.
I started writing workout programs for my family. I'm only at the start of my course, but I've been following workout programs and exercising, writing my own programs for many years now. And now that I'm actually studying personal training, I had two people approach me from my family asking me to write them programs.
That's really good. It must feel good that they trust your knowledge, what you're doing, and that you can actually do that for them, personalize a workout for them.
Exactly. So one of my siblings asked for a proper, because she lives at home, she asked me to be a proper personal trainer to her and, you know, talk through nutrition and, you know, write programs and do checkups and have a proper sort of personal training setup and commitment. And my brother asked me if I could write a couple of programs for him, workouts for him to do, in particular ones which he could like do at home around work because he works really weird hours. He wanted something which he could easily do when he can't get to the gym and can't do his normal workouts.
That's really good. So that gives you a trial run before you actually get some professional, you know, go out there as a professional and get some clients that will pay you.
Exactly.
Practice on your own family. See how they turn out before you actually do it on the public.
Yes.
That's really good. You're getting some, practical experience. Well, I think we're going to have to stop here, Sophie, because I think that rain is going to pour down in a minute and we ought to go out there, rescue our poor dog who's afraid of storms and bring her in. And yes, just say goodbye. But I think we've given the Yeti mic a good workout, haven't we? We should be able to listen to it and see what it sounds like. And I hope it's good because I don't really want to throw this episode away thinking that we didn't do it properly. So I'm hoping it turns out well.
Hopefully we've got the settings all right.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it might take us a little while to get used to it and get it set up properly, but we never know. That's the next thing, isn't it? Stop the recording. I'll go away, have a listen to it.
See how we did.
We keep learning, hey?
Exactly.
Right, so this is our holiday edition. I don't know when I'll be back with the next podcast because I said I was having a break for a little bit longer. I was thinking about resuming podcasting towards the end of this month, towards the end of January, but here we are. We've done an extra one, a bonus one.
Surprise!
I hope people will listen. Anyway, so that's it, isn't it? What should we say? People can find me on Instagram at Stories of an Unschooling Family. Also on my blog, Stories of an Unschooling Family. I might write a little bit of a blog post, put the show notes up on my blog. What else? Anything else? Where are you, Sophie? You got Instagram accounts?
Yeah, Instagram at The Techno Maid and Tough Turtle.
And you've also got a YouTube channel.
At Sophie Olvis.
That's right. Expect some more vlogs.
That's the plan.
Okay then, Sophie. Well, thank you for joining me for this episode. It's been really lovely sitting here talking with you, and thank you for setting up my Yeti mic at the beginning.
You're welcome.
So I hope everybody has enjoyed Christmas, and I hope everybody is looking forward to a very adventurous unschooling year. So until next time, we should thank people for listening first, shouldn't we? Thank you for listening, and until next time, don't forget to
trust, respect, and love unconditionally.
Thank you, Sophie.
I got it this time. my seat's sweaty.
We put that into the recording as well, do we?